I seen Dave Chappelle at the Laugh Factory put me to sleep.
And that's the clip we're using, everybody.
I seen him sit there and talk 5 hours about nothing and put me the fuck to sleep with no, with smoking a cigarette. And I'm like, wait, why is it still going? And why is no one laughing?
Jay going through a phase, yeah, phase one, global domination, nigga.
What's up, everybody? Appreciate you tuning in to Fuck Your Feelings Podcast, the greatest podcast that's ever existed. Make sure y'all hit that like, follow, subscribe button, wherever you tuned in to podcast. Hey, man, let's get into it.
Now, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Fuck Your Feelings Podcast, the greatest podcast that's ever existed. I'm talking big shit already. Man, I got my homeboys and homegirls here today, man. This is the first one, man. Got Paige Kennedy, Shantae Waynes, Jackson McQueen.
Yeah.
And I started this shit, man, because with the whole cancel culture and all that shit happening, I was like, man, I feel like the death of comedy is too much empathy. I think empathy is good, but I feel like if it's too much empathy, that's when you get crowds being like, And so I was like, man, fuck y'all niggas' feelings. You know what I'm saying? And then that's what I said, man.
So you brought us all here to be canceled.
Right.
It's a setup. You chose that unilaterally to decide the death of us, and these are the ones you chose. All right, sweet. Thank you for bringing me in. Costume person.
You just got to know how to direct the conversation, Paige. You just, shift it to somebody.
Yeah, Jackson to say anything.
Yeah.
Mikey will eat it.
Well, Paige was like, I always have him on the first episode of my podcast. But I know you'll get talking. You plan it, you're going to talk, so that'll always have you.
That's why. I would imagine anybody that you invite on here would be a good talker. So.
Yeah, I just find it funny that you made us wait that whole time just to say that answer.
What? I know, right?
Do another, do a do-over, bro.
Right.
What do you mean? I need better.
Why, bitch?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, man, Paige is a solid individual.
Platitude.
Right.
Paige is always there for me anytime I need him. You know what I'm saying?
It's real. It's true. He's real.
Yeah, he's real. He listens to my music.
I love me some Justin Hires more than he knows.
Man, I appreciate that. He looked like my uncle or some shit.
He kind of...
Oh, so now we're going to come back to you.
Let's move on. I said give us something more. I didn't say write a love letter.
Yeah, he played me. He's going to say I look like his uncle. First of all, I was like your cousin at first. Now I'm your uncle. All right.
Yeah, he played
my father, Justin Hires.
He played my cousin on Rush Hour. They got canceled during the commercial break. I've been looking at old photos of Rush Hour. I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought my career was about to take off.
And I got my own podcast.
I'm here with you.
Justice
Lisa took off.
Yeah.
I don't know if it did. What you mean, what took off? My career?
You don't walk down the street and see somebody, they go Rush Hour.
No.
MacGyver.
No. No one recognizes me, man. You know what it's like to be a, never mind. I was like, you know, fuck that. You know what it's like to be a millionaire? You know, nobody knows who the fuck you are, yo.
They're like, hey, you look like Paige Kennedy.
Yeah, bro.
Better than being broke.
Is that your dad?
It's better than being broke. But I was just telling somebody, I feel like I've started all over again. I moved back out to LA last year after MacGyver got canceled, and it's like, it started back over.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm back at the bottom of the mountain. Not all the way back at the bottom of the mountain, but like halfway.
It just reached.
Got more money.
But you know what's crazy? Sometimes you need that humility. You need that whatever direction you're going to.
I didn't need the humility.
I say you need it because there's something greater coming, and I believe that. I believe that, you know, for whatever it is, the journey just wasn't connecting. But I think that. I love the fresh start. When I did my special, you know, those are jokes I worked on for 15 years. So to do that, have to give that up and then go to a comedy club to do an hour was like, what am I going to bring?
Damn. A new hour.
A new hour.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because even though I had an hour, that hour's gone. Even, you know, it was a half hour show, but it's gone. because all my stuff tallied up around that. So I love the fresh start of things.
The challenge.
Yeah, you don't have the same, like, I miss being the beginning comic sometimes.
Straight up.
He's like, I am not like that. Have you met me? That shit does not fly with me. I don't want to start over. I work very hard to get where I am.
You know what's frustrating? When you know you're immensely talented and you still feel like you haven't crossed to that other side. And I know you feel that. How do you deal with that though?
I complain about it.
Like to a therapist, or you just fucking?
No, I post my greatness and then complain in the caption about it. Why don't y'all love me?
Right.
Shit is excellent.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think, I heard somebody say, Justin, you already great. You walk into your greatness.
Yeah.
Right? I heard somebody say that. And there's a part of me that also think maybe you just haven't accomplished anything great yet. Maybe I personally think I've accomplished something great. But the masses is like, that's cool.
Mm.
It's cool. Mm. You think it's great, but the masses is like, that's cool.
And I think both can be true. I think you could, based off where you came from, based off of like other people who have not like reached the level that you have been, you could feel like this is actually great. Look where I came from. I'm fucking from Florida. I came out here and I'm on network TV shows. I was a star one show. I have like that. Those are huge accomplishments that 1% of America.
Less than that. To come out of Florida to two series, network series.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. That's crazy. That's impossible.
I started podcast just to get encouragement and have people get.
Got the right guy. That's why he brought me here.
No, but I think I say humility because, like, for instance, you can't really stop in this game. And what I mean by stop is you get something great like a TV show. And, you know, respectfully, I'm saying this to myself and you. You used to destroy on YouTube, right? And then when you start doing shit, that slowed down. But it slowed down because you stopped creating.
Right.
Same thing with me. You know, my views were nowhere near yours, but my views was up there. And I took a step back, and now I'm trying to inch my way back in. And it's a whole different
game.
It's a whole different game out there. But yeah. I say that to say, just because you get on TV, just because I got the Netflix, it did stuff for me, but it didn't bring me to, you know, that stardom.
Right.
So it's I just feel like you really can't stop moving until you know you made it when you walk outside. You really can't walk outside.
Straight up. I'm like, for me personally, I'm like, I know I made it when I have a driver.
They got Uber, bro.
Now, yeah, I know that. Uber all the time.
No. I'm talking about real deal driver.
With a hat? You want a driver with a hat?
Yeah, that's
right.
Chauffeur. Open your shit up. Where's the monocle?
Right. He's the one to press the button to open your door. Right. Your Rolls Royce.
Shantae, you just did the HBO special with Marlon Wayans.
Mm-hmm.
Paige, you just did Made, the sequel. Right? Didn't you just film
it? I'm doing that and Love Charles.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Working. Jackson.
Do nothing.
He's like, nigga, I did this. I'm out of this right here, and this is what I'm focused on right now. When is coming out so I can
promote? I said my script option.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm writing every day, man, trying to do a thing, trying to do a damn thing.
See, this is part of the reason why I started a podcast, too, man, because I feel like I went the Hollywood route, and I'm still going the Hollywood route. I still write screenplays and shit like that, but I feel like there's always some white person who, they don't actually push, if they don't come from your culture, and they don't really know your life or your experiences, they don't value it the way someone else. So I had this homecoming movie, right? With 50 Cent was the executive producer, white producers. Now, they was like, yo, this is definitely getting made, but because certain things didn't line up, they lost faith in it. But anybody from the African-American culture knows you can't lose with a homecoming movie. Like,
can't lose. It's guaranteed something.
It's guaranteed money. You know, so that's kind of, I was like, how do y'all feel about like the independent route, you know, like doing podcasts and stuff like that versus like, I know some people that only do like auditions and they only like, they're just hoping they get hired. Or do you feel like you need to do both of them?
Well, yeah, that's my problem is I was telling you books over each other, booking, you go, okay, this is my route.
Right.
You get away from like what you should be doing, that grassroots, you know what I'm saying? You get the people involved. You know what I mean? And I think Kevin Hart did that. Kevin Hart, he like, we went around the country, you got everybody's email, got everybody's stuff, you know, he got a, what's it called, a mailing list.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? With his people. So when he did shows again, he brings people involved. You know what I'm saying? I think we don't do a good job of like getting our current mailing list together. You know what I'm saying? IG social media is a mailing list, but right. I mean, this is just my people mailing list. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
What if everybody said, we don't know what the fuck you talking about?
I personally want to have my hand in everything. I want to do everything. I want to do commercials. I want to do movies. I want to do TV. I want to do the internet. I want to do porn. I want to do everything that's possible to.
You got OnlyFans?
Nah, I don't yet. My son's girlfriend does, and she is a millionaire from it.
What?
It was my suggestion. I think she owed me 10%.
Right.
Yeah, man.
Lama.
You ain't seen her?
No.
Oh.
This is what I feel like. I feel like our greatest gift is also our greatest curse. At least me and you. When you're multi-talented the way we are, and you actually go out into those areas, you lose focus on being great at one thing. And a part of me is always thinking, Justin, you need to focus on being a great comedian or a great actor. Once you become great at that one thing, those other opportunities will come. So, for Jamie Foxx, for instance, right? He was trying to do music at the same time he was doing A Little Color. Wasn't really cracking for him. He became this great comedian. Then, once he became this great comedian and movie star, then he was able to double back and get his music popping off with Kanye. You ever think about that?
I do. And
what y'all think?
Unfortunately, I personally do understand that logic because that's what everyone tells you. They're like, you know, what is it? Master of...
Right. A jack of all trades, yeah, master of none.
Yeah, so I hear that. But to me, in my brain, I feel like how we said earlier, that I am great already in the things that I do. But I think you're talking about great in how they see it. Remember we were discussing like how it could be both, how we can feel for ourselves versus what the world looks at.
Right.
And so maybe you're saying become great to them, you know what I'm saying, as opposed to just to myself. Because to me, I don't need to focus more on one of these things. I'm doing this thing already.
But to the credit, I mean, you know, how big of a rap star do you want to be?
I don't know.
That's the key to it all. To just go, what do you? I feel like when you think about what you have to be and all those things, instead of just moving forward, then that can stifle you. It's all about perspective. I don't care to be the top. I don't care to be like Kevin Hart. And what I mean by that is like stand up is my love.
You're saying fuck Kevin Hart.
No,
you're saying fuck Kevin Hart. You're canceled. Fuck your feelings.
I'm saying I like peace and I like my sanity, and I think you can still live and be famous and not have to do that. Yeah. You gonna see me like a little Duvall life where you like, where does man live? Because he's just living but making his money. So I'm saying for me, I've learned with my sanity and what I want in life, the match of it, it doesn't matter for me. You know what I'm saying? But I know I'll never give up stand-up.
Straight up. I think nowadays you gotta be the master of all. You know what I mean? You have to be master of social media, master of stand-up, master writer, master auditioner.
You got to do it all.
You got to master up. And nowadays, back then, you used to do one thing. Not no more.
Because if one thing pops, then everything else is a go. You only need one thing. One thing goes right, and then everything else just comes along with it.
and you have more, like the more swings at bat you have, the more chances you have to hit a home run. And so if you got your feet in all of these, you know, different plots, then you have the opportunity to, you know, hit that one thing. Because you know how it works.
Right.
You get one movie that's a viral movie. Look what happened with Tiffany Haddish. She's been in the game forever.
Right on.
That one virality of that movie changed her whole life. So she can do whatever the fuck it is she want to do.
Right.
Music, whatever. And that's how it works. You get one song that goes crazy on TikTok and blows you up or whatever, then all of that
stuff. Not sex, you mean?
Mm-hmm. You said what?
Lil Nas X?
I thought you said not sex.
Yeah.
I thought it was like not sex.
Yeah, Nas X, man. You know, he had one song, took him off.
Yeah, it did.
Took him off. Big song in the universe.
That'll never happen again, I'll be telling people.
That's shocked.
I don't think it'll happen again.
Wait, is that what happened to him? Is that his story?
Yeah.
The old country world was a TikTok thing?
Yeah, it took off on TikTok and Twitter.
I didn't know that.
Fuck you. Are you saying it'll never happen again to somebody else?
Yeah, this is why I say that. On TikTok, they know when you post original music now. Like, on all these platforms, they kind of notice. And I feel like they suppress your videos when they know original music is being uploaded. Mm-hmm. Unless you pay them. Mm-hmm. Like, unless you, because you haven't noticed on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, they'd be like, pay to promote. To get more people to see your
shit. You can pay on TikTok?
Yeah, you pay on TikTok.
For what? Engagement?
For music.
For the engagement?
For the views. Promotion.
I didn't know that.
So, I feel like they kind of know that shit, and they like, sure.
They stifle it down.
Anytime I post like original music, it gets way less views.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, but I feel like that's why. They're like, listen, we'll let people hear your shit, but you gotta pay us.
Damn.
Pay to play.
You gotta pay to play.
Hey, let me ask you this. So, Lil Nas X, what was the TikTok? Like, what was the visual of it?
They were on Twitter.
I can't remember. It was on Twitter, technically, they would have took off.
But what? Was it a visual or was it just?
It was him and Ash Chaps.
It was what?
No. It was like him and Ash Chaps.
And what? No, I don't know. I don't know what it was.
Why you made that up?
He was called being a comedian.
He was in
jail, man. What the fuck?
I'm asking a serious question.
I'm trying to steal his format.
Serious conversation. Now I'm about to go. I'm thinking, I'm like, damn, now they got Ash Chaps on Amazon.
Next episode, we're going to have the TV working. We're going to be able to pull shit on the TV. We're going to have a
break our neck to look at.
I know. I thought about that. Well, I was supposed to say, fuck your feelings on the screen, but it's just a black screen right now. Watch this. Hold on, it lights up now. Roku.
That don't say fuck your feelings.
Yeah, I know.
That say one word.
I know. Fuck that.
Where did fuck your feelings come from?
I definitely explained this in the beginning.
Yeah. No. But I'm saying, like, the fact that you chose to, like, use a curse word in the title.
Because I wanted to get the least amount of views as possible. I said, what can stifle this podcast?
I'm putting it on TikTok
with original music underneath it. That's how I was feeling, man. I when I be doing comedy, man, and I be hearing certain shit, it's like, man, fuck, nigga. Or I be reading shit. I be reading these articles and stuff like that. Everybody's offended about shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, fuck y'all feelings. Like, get over it. Like, what? We wouldn't have Chris Rock without bullying. Do you understand that? We wouldn't have fucking Google or Apple without them being fucking nerds.
Yeah.
Like, and if we don't have some healthy dosage of fucking losers getting beat up in middle school, I don't know how we're gonna have great things.
Yeah.
Great comedy, great. It's like, I don't. So when it comes to that's what I was talking about, the whole empathy. So fuck your feelings. The actual artwork. We don't spell it out though.
Oh, okay.
It's the F with.
You have a joke now. You don't do anymore. Like joke you used to do.
I brought one back. I just said fuck it.
Well, what was the joke?
It was a joke about how they got. It's a joke about how I played a gay dude in 21 Jump Street.
Okay.
And I say they're doing all this type of include. If anybody that don't know, I played a gay black kid to get punched by Channing Tatum. For anybody that's watching this. And this is what everybody say. Oh, that is him. So,
he got hair now.
He got hair now. I know, right? So, this is also why I don't work in Hollywood. What was the question?
You asked, do you have any jokes that you...
Gay, I said I was the gay black dude in 21 Jump Street. I said I did that because I wanted to represent the gay community. If I could do my part doing that, I'd do that. I said, you know, I don't know if y'all know this, they also got gay video game characters now. I said, the new Mortal Kombat, there's a gay video game character. And he fights like this, and I go...
And you felt like you needed to terminate that at a certain point?
Well, I just stopped saying it just because I had wrote other jokes.
Oh.
But recently, in the spirit of saying fuck your feelings, I just brought it back. Mm. Oh, because they brought back 21 Jump Street on Netflix.
Oh.
So I've been getting a lot more people kind of mentioning 21 Jump Street.
So you have one of those?
Yeah, Shanta, you got any? You're gay. Do you have any?
Can I throw?
Wow.
You got some gay. Don't you got some jokes?
I do have stuff. I'm not going to say the joke on air because I'm still working them out. But
No, I meant like jokes that you had, but because of cancel culture, you stopped doing it.
You know, so the funny thing is, one of the jokes I did on the HBO thing was an old joke that I let go because it's relating to me dating a special ed kid. So you know, the payoff of it is what make the people laugh, but as I'm saying it, people are kind of like, I get to the punch, because then they're like, oh, he wins.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? So you know, I speak about my lifestyle, like people in my lifestyle. I'm on both sides. So I'll bring up stuff about trans and just like process type things that happen, not to make fun of them, but because a lot of people don't even know that whole process, but there's a lot of funny stuff in it.
Hmm. But you know what's so crazy? If anybody's going to ever get canceled in this room, it's Paige. He has so many videos. That's also why we have him on our podcast. Because the fearlessness.
But, no, he's just like, oh, this is going to go viral.
Nah, I gave him a book. You know, viral ain't viral no more. Bro, I got videos that's in the millions, no one knows. Remember back in like 2009 and 2010, if you had a video go viral, everybody was talking about it.
It was viral.
Yeah, it was viral. Everybody was talking about it. Now, I got videos on TikTok. Think about how many famous people. You ever go on somebody's page, and you're like, this motherfucker has 20 million followers. I've never heard of them. Never seen a video of them.
Right.
Never seen a picture.
Yeah.
Shit ain't the same no more. Your videos, though, back in the day were crazy. Mm-hmm. You ever get concerned? You ever think about taking any of that down or not?
That's on Drake or the girls?
Oh, I ain't think about that. So Drake.
All right, so let's forget that part. Right. the girls stuff.
I mean, yeah, anything. I don't know. Do you think about? Do any of y'all think about taking that old content of the tweets?
Like it might bite you in the ass later on, type shit. Working for Disney or something.
It's possible, but I feel like at the internet, you cannot scrub that. Like. It's there. It's on the internet. Like, you can delete it from your thing all you want, but it's there. Like, if it did anything, if it had any type of legs at all, it's already uploaded through somebody else's thing, so you can find it.
Facts.
Right.
You know, so I'm like, well, what's the point of that? I did scrub my Twitter.
What am I about to say? Yeah, yeah.
I did get rid of
hell
that because,
yeah.
Because
I went through my shit, just in case.
Yeah, because when we first started with Twitter with Marlon and Kevin and Damien, and all we did was Niall Evans. We all just wrote the most hellacious jokes ever.
Right.
Because it was just writing and it was just comedy and so what? But if you fast forward to 2022 and they rewind and they go look at that, then they're going to feel some kind of way about it. Which kind of sucks that you can take something that we matured into and then use those same criteria to go back and retroactively punish you.
To cancel.
That's crazy.
I've never tweeted anything crazy. Like, there was always an internal in tune with, like, society to know not to use this word or not to use that word. So I've never said.
Well, congratulations.
No. Perfect. Lucky you.
What can I say?
Lucky you.
What can I say? I'm a great fucking human being.
I said a bunch
until they find this Fuck Your Feelings podcast.
I ain't said nothing that ain't true so far. I don't know. I mean, I heard Spike Lee. The only thing I said was, I heard Spike Lee say that, he said the reason why hip hop music is the biggest genre of music is because white people never had their hands on it. When it comes to notes, when it comes to the artistic vision of the art, you can't tell Jay-Z, take out this word, use this word. You can't tell that to DMX. You can't tell that to any of these people. You see what I'm saying? They're able to create their art without someone outside of the culture giving them notes.
I think that's a fact. Have you seen the latest Billy Sorrell's?
I saw that yesterday. Did y'all see that?
He has a.
Let me tell you about Billy Sorrell.
He loves all the smoke. He loves smoke, don't he? He loves all the smoke.
Yeah. All right. Let me tell you how I saw it. Let me take a sip first.
Is
Billy Sorrell. Shout out to Billy Sorrell.
With the baby hair?
Yeah.
With the baby.
Love it.
He was in one of my sketches back in the day. He does a phenomenal Cornell West impression. Like, who does Cornell? He does. I told my homeboy last night, I said, Billy Sorrell is the Kanye West of comedians. He knows what to say, what buttons to push for people to pay attention.
Thanks.
So this is what happened. I followed Tony Baker. Tony Baker, it said he was going live with Billy Sorrell. I said, I got to see this. Because I know he's the Kanye of comedians. I know he's about to say some wild shit. I said, I got to tune in. This is must-see TV. This goddamn Thursday night. This is Friends. You know, so I'm like, all right, man. Billy go on there. He fucking calls out the Laugh Factory
on the live.
On the live. It was Tony Baker, Trey Elliott, Billy Sorrells, and some other dude. I'm not familiar with the other dude. He gonna be mad if you see this. Man, fuck that nigga. And fuck his feelings. So yo, they on the live, bro. He like the Laugh Factory need to be paying people. That's what he's saying. He like it was like y'all post comedians content on YouTube. Y'all make all this money. Y'all ain't breaking off the comedians nothing. Trey Elliott was like they do pay you something. Lonnie, who you know books the Laugh Factory, she like yo we do pay. He like well y'all need to do better. You know what I'm saying?
Cause they were in the live.
Lonnie was yeah. This was all after live. So Lonnie was in the chat. Billy live. Tony live.
She talked Sundays though.
She do talk to Sundays.
Yeah, not
Laugh Factory, right? So then he called Joey Wells a joke thief.
Well, he did the Mount Rushmore.
Right.
He called of joke thieves, and he called out four or five names.
What he called out? I missed that part.
Didn't you see what he called out?
No, he called out.
He called out. He said, Leslie Jones, SNL. He said Ocean Galapion.
Oh, Ocean at tour with Dion.
Yeah.
Cole.
He said Ron G. He said,
damn, he's going in.
He said, I forgot
what
he said.
Oh,
he said,
G-Thang. I'm picking on G-Thang, man. G-Thang, like, I'm minding my own thing.
And I forgot who, I think it might be the four he called out, those four or five he called out. But I'm like,
I never would have thought Ron G.
I think he's want smoke, bro. I think he's want smoke, bro. I just want smoke. Cause Ocean got on live with them.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, you see that part?
No, I see that.
Ocean got on live with them. I'm like, what the fuck you talking about? What's going on? And they got to a screaming match. And Ocean said, well, tell me what jokes I steal. Just tell me. And Billy came out with like the most Vegas type, you know, said, you see, mom's a crackhead, alcoholic, and you was like, come on, women have intuition and stuff. It's like, bruh, like, really, come on, that's what you come at me with, you know what I mean? It's a shouting match, and Billy's roasting his teeth, and whatever. And then,
where were you? You said this is must-see TV.
Right.
I'm not missing this, and you went in there for 3 minutes.
I like the rest of the niggas. I got shit to do.
I saw this morning, actually, because someone was paid.
Okay.
I was told, yo, look at this.
Right.
So then Tony Baker got on back with live again with him afterwards and go, dude, that's who you went in Ocean with? Like, come on, bro, you'll do better than that. Saying you're going to accuse somebody of that type of thievery, right? Which is a big offense in the black comedy community, right? If it's deliberate to steal it. If you're going to do all that, then you got to come up better than that.
Have y'all ever been accused of stealing a joke?
I the funny thing is I got recordings. So especially my new shit, I always have something that I need to mark a date. I can always show it.
Straight up.
Even from my beginning shit. So, and there's people out there that, you know, it feel like we stepping on each other, but it's mostly like premises.
Right.
And not, you know, everybody got similar stuff that they gotta veer and have different direction in.
Yeah, I've been accused before. But like, just the most generic, basic stuff. Like,
can y'all explain what stealing the joke is to the audience? Like, what does that mean exactly? Like, because if you talk about your kid fucking getting bad grades at school.
What's up, everybody? Appreciate you watching Fuck Your Feelings. You want to know what's even wilder than this podcast? The Patreon. That's right. My Patreon, patreon.com/JustinHyatt. I'm talking about my stand-up sets. I'm talking about live streams, behind-the-scenes footage of the podcast, and all types of foolishness goes down on the Patreon every week. So make sure y'all subscribe to that. patreon.com/JustinHyatt. Now let's get back to the show.
Here's still another joke. Chris Rock has a famous joke. There's a difference between black people and niggas. Right?
Mm.
It's a famous joke. If you go on stage and say, man, there's a difference between black people and niggas, you stole the joke. And what I feel is, the premise is the real joke. That's what I personally feel. So if you're taking someone's premise, I know.
That's the premise, the black people versus the niggas?
That's not on every joke, though, because you could say, you know, my father wasn't there for me.
That's true.
And have a whole different thing. But
That's true.
It has to stick out. Like, no way in hell somebody thought of it that way.
Right.
Because this is so famous as this joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think some cats have like minds.
It's true.
People think subliminally sometimes. They heard a joke 10 years ago, and I can say it 10 years later. They didn't know where it came from a lot of times. But plus, I never hear, really dope-ass comics complain about
right.
joke thievery.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I never hear, the dope comics, you never hear Dave Chappelle complain about my stole a joke. You don't hear that shit.
No, but I'm sure he's felt like that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's true.
I can't say, you know, for sure, but I had a comedian that, you know, was a social media comedian. She was just starting, and I had her on a show, and I did my set, and then I had her on another show, and she did a bit that she never did before that was similar, and part of the joke was women going to war, and it was like, don't speak for me, because it was a whole article talking about, you know, this is like messed up that women can't get the same chances and all that stuff, and I went into why. Would y'all speak for me? Y'all can go to war if you want to, but let it be out. And then it was just this ripple of how it would be if women went to war. And literally, she did that joke.
Now, see, that's annoying, too. When, we have a conversation, we talking shit, whatever, make jokes, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I say something funny. Then you go on stage and say that shit.
Yeah.
That's still that's
oh, is that still in that joke,
that's
too?
Yeah, you go, I'm going to do that.
Even if y'all just talking.
Well, see, that's why if you're in a group full of comedians, you gotta claim that shit.
Yeah, right? No, that's mine.
I'm gonna write that shit down. That's what you say.
Yeah.
I'm gonna write that shit down.
Yeah.
They automatically claim because the motherfucker try to piggyback off of your shit and then they'll try to use it.
Yeah. Damn, so you can't even have premise. The reason I'm asking
is. It depends on the premise, like Shante said. It depends. But the Chris, the black people versus niggas, that was such a prolific. And it was on an HBO special.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That's if anyone else says that.
You know that they probably saw it.
Yeah. It's like Martin saying, that's a tagline, you so crazy. But, anyway, I'm listening.
No, I was just looking at it you know, far as rappers, like bars. You know, if I think of a punchline, I want to be honest. You know, Kylie Jenner's pops, transparent. You know what I'm saying? And somebody else, thank you, man.
So you better claim that.
No, but I'm just saying. And then someone else has a bar that's set up different than that, but it's still kind of in the same vein where they switch up how they do it, but it's still the same punchline. Is that stealing someone's bars? People have I don't think everything that you think of has never been said before.
Right. Well, this is how I know for a fact. I know for a fact I was in at the Laugh Factory where the comedians sit up at the top, right? But I was in the back area, the little lounge area. We were all talking. It was when Chris Brown shit happened, he started making a comeback.
I was like, man, I was like, yo, Chris Brown, I say talent trumps vices. I was like, as long as you talented, you could make your way back. And we was like, all like, I was gonna write that shit down. Literally while I'm writing it down, Real Battle is on stage. He said, hey man, talent trumps vices. Oh, like I had never seen him say that. It was one of those, it was a clear thing to see. Like Michael Jackson or anybody. You see what I'm saying? R. Kelly is like, the reason they got away with it for so long is because they were talented. If you're super talented, not to say he didn't, they ain't paid, don't be mad. I know, right? So but what I'm saying is, the reason why people let that shit go for so long is because they're uber talented. But so it was an easy kind of joke in the first place, anyways. So but what I'm saying is, we were thinking similar. But once I heard him say it on stage, deleted it out of my phone.
Years ago, about 10 years ago, dude came to me and was like, dude, man, you got a joke, man. You know, man, you stole my shit, man. You stole my shit. So what's the joke, man? You talking about how girls judge you because of Zodiac sign, man. Come on, man. That's my shit. Are you fucking serious, nigga?
Right.
What are we talking about? I don't respect him as his craft as a comic anyway. So I'm like, I'm going to do the shit. But, he just, you know what I'm saying, appealing. Instead of like a dope-ass comic, I feel like. Well, great comic come to you like some bullshit.
So, I'm curious if right now, in us talking and riffing on things, if somebody said something just off the cuff right now, and one of y'all then put that in your stand-up, you stole her joke?
It's who said it.
It's really more respect. I'll say this. The person, I've never asked that girl to do the show again. But respectful, you know, I still say, what's up? You know, all those things. Sometimes we on the same show and I don't want to do it. But that's when I'll just have fun. You know what I mean? But if I'm working on my stuff, and I think that's why, for a long time, because people would be like, you should broaden what you're talking about and all this stuff. And I'm like, this is my lifestyle. And it wasn't that many gay people were at least coming out the way I was. So it was like, if anybody did this, they're literally taking from me. So for me, I was like, I'm going down this lane. What's happening in my life? What are the things that I go through instead of go to politics and all those things? Because it's just scary to know people will just take it.
And you know what's crazy too? Back when I had my open mic, back in Amsterdam,
right,
there'd be the social media cats, say, the IG dudes, the gazillion followers, come on there, sit, they sit in open mics, they chill, don't go on stage, and then the next thing you know, you see this all the sketches they do on your jokes and shit.
That's still it too.
Getting
gazillion. Yeah, you hear a joke and then you go do a skit on it. Yeah, you got your idea.
We are working on this to do an hour, bro.
But everybody
put this
in a sketch.
I'm
gonna say this.
Besides y'all perspective, there's other people that are listening and wondering, wait, why is that still in? And I'm that person that's giving that to you. A lot of people don't post their sex.
No.
They only post like little random stuff.
That's why I just post crowd work so far.
You not gonna go, you could rap and you could do this shit 50 million times. If I come to your show, I'm going to want to hear the stuff that as a rapper, I'm going to want to hear my favorite song. As a comedian, you like, man, I'm only going to laugh but so much at these jokes. Like, you want to hear new stuff. Mm. So to have it on YouTube and somebody thought you was funny at the show, and then they go look online, you got those jokes up there. They like, you repeating shit?
So do you guys get upset enough when y'all fight? Are y'all like rappers ever? Like, are there comedians that actually fight?
I heard.
What I'm about to say, the names I called earlier.
They fought?
You know what I'm saying? But Billy was like, Billy and Osho were like, I'll beat your ass. Let's fight for right now.
What's over a joke?
Yeah, but see, that's something I said when I first moved out here to LA, and I started to see that comedians were carrying themselves like rappers. And I was like, we need to have a boxing league. Like, we need to have a comedian boxing league, because most comedians, we have a dark side, you know. The fact that I started rapping, I mean, to some people it's a surprise, but I'm like, I'm a real nigga, bruh. Like, this shit is, I know, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have the face of Martin. I have the spirit of Malcolm. You see what I'm saying? So, but what I'm saying, when I was saying we need to have a boxing league, I'm like, if niggas want to pop shit or talk all that, nigga, throw some gloves. We used to do that when I was young. We used to throw them gloves, me and my cousin, and we used to box. And it's like, prove you really tough. If you're not really tough, then shut the fuck up. Because what I haven't seen is any of these comedians really swing. The only comedian, Scruncho. That's what I'm about to say. Scruncho is the only comedian that I seen run up.
Actually gangster.
Yeah, I know. But that's what I'm saying. If you're not thorough, if you're not
really, he fight other comedians.
I don't see him on stage while you're doing his joke.
You see him like,
and he's so much love outside of that, but he will not take that shit.
Straight up.
He will not take that.
And I salute him. I seen him run up on TK Kirkland.
Yep.
You were there that night?
I wasn't there, but I seen him.
I was there that night.
What happened?
Nigga ran up on TK Kirkland and swung on him.
He on stage?
On stage.
At the Comedy Store.
Did he say something first?
He said his joke.
Yeah.
No. Did Scruncho say something to him first?
I think he just ran up on that nigga.
Scruncho got that speed. He big, but he little. So right. That nigga, you just like, what did you say?
You know what I'm saying? Did TJ even know why this person is swinging on him?
I don't know.
Have you guys witnessed other people that want to fight over their jokes?
I heard Martin Lawrence used to fight niggas.
That's what I heard.
I heard he used to swing on people. Because, you know, Martin used to box. He was Golden Gloves champion or something. Or he fought in Golden Gloves.
I don't know if it was a fight. Proud people. I've seen that before.
Really?
What? I know, back in the day, I remember Arnaz J.
Mm-hmm.
He got to the crowd.
Talk about joke people. I don't know that. That's just a rumor about it. I don't know that.
Sure. Yeah. I feel like everybody that's touring, but nobody know how they selling out shows. The niggas out there.
That's what you're saying. That's what Bill was saying. Bill was saying, like, yeah, in L.A., they say their jokes, but on the road, they say everybody has some jokes.
Mm. Oh, shit.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, sometimes, you know, dudes in the hour of field, all they got is 30.
Hey, yeah.
So they don't want to do nothing. Did D-Ray
ever fight anybody?
Did D-Ray?
No, y'all never heard?
I don't think I ever heard, but I don't.
I heard he could fight, though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he ever fought anybody over a joke. But I heard in the streets he could fight.
I just wondered, like, how far does this go? Because it seems to be something that's very prevalent in you guys' community. And I just wondered, you know, when you're dealing with black people, like, they don't take no disrespect. And, you know, I feel like we're the only people that fight our people, like rappers and like other genres don't really do that. You know, like actors don't.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think it's because we're tired of disrespect? Like black people as a community, we're tired of disrespect. So when we sense it anywhere from anybody, our just initial reaction is just to lash out because we get disrespected, we feel like, by America. We get disrespected by, quote-unquote, them or whoever they is. I don't mean that in a trans way. I mean that, you know, they always hating on me type way.
Why we don't fight they? We only fight us.
I agree.
Why?
It's easier. You know, you fight in your proximity, too.
Right.
You know, it's easier to fight your neighbor.
That's right there.
But some cats is angry though, man. Some cats always looking for disrespect.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they think,
right, know, their level of disrespect is like higher, right? Yeah. Like,
straight up. Sneak a breathe on me.
No. The blink wrong.
Right, and then fighting.
Are you aggressive? Like,
used to be.
Shut the fuck up. I don't think I'm aggressive. I think I like respect and I speak on it, but it's probably why I isolated myself a little bit more. So you can't control other people's personalities.
Facts.
And I don't really vibe with a lot of people, so
Do you get into altercations?
No, I say what I feel, and if it don't click, then you know you probably never see me again. But I never had to like sit up there and fight on somebody. I'm just saying that I would speak my piece.
No, I understand.
Yeah,
I can't.
What about you? Do you get into altercations with people?
I only got it. You mean
over jokes?
One time, and
I whipped his ass.
Nah, but like I said, see, I'm about that life.
And I'm about that life.
That's the difference.
Because I don't know, I got these hands. I might be little.
You're working out a different Justin page, because I've never thought any of this of him.
Yeah. That was tough.
He was like, yeah, I get my ass. What? So,
just like you got dreadlocks, girl.
Just no, holy shit.
And a beard.
Just from Indy from Florida.
Indy from Florida. That's
like, hey, pitbull.
Let me tell you what Shantae saw. Shantae met Justin fresh out in LA with a low haircut, trying to make it. With going to agencies with a collar. And I get, that's what we've all done. We've all.
Bilingual.
We bilingual. Right. First thing Paige said when he came on my day ones podcast was, your energy is different on your day ones podcast than it was on your Urban Legends podcast.
Yeah.
Because that's me with my homeboys.
Chameleon.
They know me. I'm the nigga that fought all in high school. You know, I'm the one, you know, nobody ever run up on, they don't. But you know what's so funny? No one said about basketball players. These niggas fight, they don't got no complex. But when a short nigga,
they big as hell.
The thing is, they're still fighting, is what I'm saying. But when it's a short person, that's...
They already physical though, Jay. They already on the court. Okay. They already doing this.
But here's the...
One or two of these.
Yeah. I mean, I could dig it.
I think she wants to join that boxing league you talk about.
I don't believe
you. She don't believe you, bro. She wanted to, you know what I'm saying?
I can't fight that.
I'm trying to avoid a conversation at all.
You got that life?
I would, if given the right circumstances. See, I'm at a point in my life now where I'm like, this shit ain't worth it.
Thank you. Because that's where I live.
But if this was me in college or 22 or definitely
like high school.
Definitely high school. Yeah. So anyways, here's the one time. A comedian hit me up one time. I was literally about to walk into an audition. And I had just walked into the audition. And a comedian called me. He was like, hey man, somebody said you did my joke last night at the comedy store.
Oh man. Somebody said
you did my. I said, well, what joke did I do? Because I know I'm a pretty original guy. This was the first time and only time anybody has ever accused me of stealing, right?
And how old were you? 22?
No, at this point, it was before maybe 27 at this point or something. So I've been doing it for a little while. Because it was before rush hour. So I said, well, what joke was it? He said, they said you did my cat joke. So I don't even have a cat joke. So I said, but I tell you this though. Whoever told you that, he could have talked to me. You let him know that I'm calling him a pussy nigga. And please tell him, when I see him, I'm going to call him a pussy nigga to his face. Now, who was it? So I can say it to his face. Well, now, hey, Jay, it ain't that serious, brother. I would just let you know. I said, no, nigga, tell him. I said, he a fuck boy and a pussy nigga. Who was it? He was like, don't be worried about it, Jay. It's all good, Jay. I said, all right. I said, I don't steal jokes, bro. Click, hold up the phone.
Oh, he called you?
Yeah, he had called me.
So you know this dude.
So then I went up to the improv.
My bad. I'm sorry.
I went up.
It's like I was trying to keep your name out of there.
I went up to the improv. Because I know the comedian that called me be up there. So I went up to the improv Monday night.
He went all smoke.
Oh, so I went up there. I said, hey, bro. I said, so what, tell me again what the joke was. He was like, oh no, Jay, it ain't serious. I said, brother, I can let you listen to the audio recording. You know, so I pull out the audio recording. I said, so what's up? He was like, oh Jay, you don't gotta do all that. I believe, dog. I said, all right. I went on about my business.
Oh damn, the smoke. So you never even had a cat joke?
No, I had an old lady joke. And that might have been, and I used to be like a cougar joke. That's what it was. Who don't have that? If that was my one hacky joke, it was a cougar joke. You see what I'm saying? Like, because I used to perform at the J Spot all the time, right? Yeah. And it's a bunch of old people. And I'm like, oh, it's a lot of cougars in here.
Yeah.
That was, I'm like, nigga, it's probably 30 fucking, like, if that's your joke. But that's not what he had a literal cat joke.
Oh, he told you what the joke was?
I think he did or something. I don't know. We didn't get that deep. He backtracked.
You never found out who told him, who said that though, huh?
Nah, but I hope word that back what I said.
So you don't care? Or you care now?
Care
but you
didn't care.
The fact that you might be smaller than some of the people that you might have to be aggressive with.
Those are the stars.
I know.
Those are the niggas that wind up.
No. I'm talking about, like, yeah, the superstars are small, but I'm talking about, and him, because you know how he can.
You said physically.
Right. Mm. You don't care?
This is something that my cousin taught me. This is something that Floyd Mayweather said also. The chin don't lift weights.
Oh, damn.
So, okay. That being said.
It's not going to get hit.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Call that nigga the boy.
What it's saying is, anybody, no matter the size,
damn,
if you get hit right in the chin, it's night-night.
Go to sleep.
You going to sleep. Now, that being said.
Well, John Cena's chin look like it can test. American dad ass.
Wait a minute. Let me preface this, because I don't want to just come off like I'm just some tough dude. Let me be very clear. There are niggas that I know I would shoot.
No. Shoot? No, we went there. God damn.
But this is what I'm saying. They're too big for me to be trying to get that hit off to the chin. Mm-hmm. Because if you hit him in the chin and he eats it, it's night-night for me. You see what I'm saying?
No, he can't catch you, right?
Yeah. So, like you. Somebody like you, I would never fight you. You too big of a, you got gorilla energy, nigga. You do.
Nick swole.
He swole his head.
Nick swole.
I'm not fighting you. So, you know. What about
shout out to the group?
Hand slam.
I saw it coming. Shout out to the group.
I didn't know who it was till I seen you posted it.
That nigga's famous. Is more famous than me now.
No good.
Shout out to him. Hey, man, you know, everybody has that thing. He's positive.
You talking about the gorilla dude?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't talk. He's positive. He has his moment. He seems like a good guy. So I'm happy for, you know, he had nothing and then he started a thing and it made people happy, and so shout out to him for that.
How did he pop off?
That's for a chicken. Snoop Dogg and everybody start posting him dancing at these places.
So he danced in front of chickens.
In front of chicken.
Well, he danced anywhere. Oh, okay.
Anywhere in public, like he'll just start dancing because he's so big and he can move pretty good. You know, people all tagging me like, "Paige, you so dumb. Put the Paige."
But you know what's so funny? When I see y'all together, I'm like, they don't look that similar. But when I see him by himself in a video, I can see
you. Yep. Smile and
yep.
But together, like, he way bigger than me and wider and darker and. He got too much gum to teeth ratio, and he got hair. But
he just shit on his man's mouth. Man,
No. I'm in comparison.
Two story gums.
Wait a minute. Before we got it, y'all ain't never fought nobody.
They fight somebody, but not because of comedy.
Right.
Nigga, I got big eyes. I'm terrified. He hit my eyes, bro. Terrified. So I avoid all conflict.
So you never been in a fight?
I've been fighting back in college, you know, with cop and shit, you know what I mean? You know, canes and shit. But even then, I was like, it's like the theater of it. Yeah, get my face, nigga. You know what I'm saying? I was terrified. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine hitting my face? You imagine hitting your face? Terrified me, bro.
And Paige, you ain't never fought
a pacifist. But pass these fists. You know
what I'm
saying? No, as a kid, I grew up in Detroit, so I had to fight. But as an adult, I've never had a fight as an adult. You know how stupid that looks to me?
What's your record?
As a kid?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
Lifetime.
I don't know. I probably.
I'm trying to size you up.
No, I mean, I've always been a scary kid, man. I obviously come from a beleaguered background and.
Spell it, nigga.
Spell it,
nigga.
No, go ahead.
You want to use it? Spell it.
you can spell it later.
No, fuck all that. All right, go on.
But no, so you know, I and I had a big mouth, and I instigate stuff, and I'm annoying. So yeah, I got jumped, I got beat up. I've won some fights, but I don't like the fight. I think it's ridiculous. I do anything in my, like, you know, there are a lot of people who they're not gonna start nothing, but they welcome it if you bring that energy to them. I don't even give off that energy right. In the first place. Luckily, I'm big enough where people not even about to try me in the first place. But
facts.
I don't want that energy. It ain't like you like if somebody disrespect you, you ready to do whatever. You talking about the people, you talking about like me personally, I never.
But somebody came up on you and punched you, what you gonna do?
Then I'll defend myself.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm not looking for nothing.
Yeah, but
if the disrespect comes, you know, I'm a...
But it won't take them to punch you for you to hit them, right? It would take them to swing on me for me to hit them.
It would take them some type of aggressive forward movement.
That could be anything. He could lurch at you.
I'm saying, man, I'm not a fighter, bro. I'm not a fighter. I was saying, you hit my mama, but if you hit her, I'd be like...
But if he swung,
what'd you do?
But if he swung,
what you do, you mama?
My mom just talk shit. So,
and you say you do, or you say you have, or you haven't?
No, I have fought
as an adult.
Shit! When's the last time I fought?
Like last week? I dragged a bitch.
I never really had to. I remember like the last almost fight I got into was like touring with my uncle because he would take. He would have people stand online to get merch and they got to pay for it, but they couldn't take pictures while they were online. And so I would have to be both the picture taker and, you know, to calm these people down. So by the time the show is, these people drunk. And I would go. And so by the last person, I'm looking at them now like, bro, you don't even know how to sneak the shit. Like, I have to say something because it's like this. And I said it to this dude and he was like, what the fuck? Like, don't talk to me. You think, you know, something like you don't talk to a man this way, and and I almost went at it, but security was like right there, didn't do shit, and then finally they came in like, yo, you gotta go, you can't do this. But you still was getting the picture.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It wasn't like, so that was like the last one. That was in Chicago.
And as an adult, have you?
Nah.
Okay, good.
That's what I'm saying, man.
If you fight over the age of like 28.
28?
I would say 25.
If you out of college and you have a fifth fight, you look stupid.
Well, I'm going to give you leeway. I'll give you 28 because that's like the leeway, right? That's like the leeway. If you fight over 28,
there are people that's 50 years old fighting. I don't understand that. Like, you have children. Do you teach your children, like, that's the way that you handle problems? Like, you can't use your brain and patience to handle problems in a way that's non-violent. Like what? And I feel like we're not the only people to do that, but it's people who fight all type of people. But I don't understand it. It's a name to me that's what you resort to. And then nothing is settled that way. You don't, I mean, maybe you feel better if you win. I guess you could still feel bad if you punch somebody and you hurt your hand. Like, nothing is settled by that. So whatever you guys were fighting over, you don't now get that thing.
I don't know, man. Me and my friends, we fought when we was kids. And, you know, sometimes you just got to get that energy out. And then you be like, all right, you got me or I got you. And you straight after that.
So you advocate for adults fighting.
Not adults.
You need to give
not
that's
adults.
What we're talking about. We're talking about adults.
You like, said nothing. You said nothing positive comes from that. I'm saying sometimes you gotta get a
blow off steam.
Get off that steam, and or sometimes some people have a newfound respect for you. Meaning like they thought they could pick on you or whatever. You defended yourself. You're like, you know what? That's what's up. So even Mayweather, when he box people, even if he wins, but he still gained a certain level of respect.
That's what that is. That's the sport.
But I'm saying even without the sport, in real life too. I'm saying I've seen fights, niggas fight, and then afterward they're like, all right, nigga, we good. And then they cool after that.
Do you agree that if you're a father, you could slap your daughter if she disrespects
you? I don't put my hands on my daughter. Because I said, how can I tell her a man can't hit you, but I'm hitting you? So that's why I don't.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's dope. I'm in the South.
No, that's what I was gonna ask that question because my daughter had like 16, you know, that 15, you haven't reached that time yet to see the level of disrespect that's gonna come. But like at 15, 16, where she say whatever she talked to you like that's her house that she paid the bills in, and then storm off and slam her door in your face.
She did that to me.
Already,
seriously. And I fucking bust open the door. She tried to come on, fucking crazy. What's wrong with you? Like, I fucking like went off on her, yo. I was like, you can't do that shit. Cause I'm trying to nip that shit in the bud early. But
imagine the 16-year-old.
I can't because she's already on that type of shit.
So that's what I'm saying. Like it would take such a level of standing in your equanimity to be able to allow that type of umbrage in your home.
Okay, T.I.
He ain't still.
Okay, T.I. Standing your equanimity.
You know what's so funny though? I used to tell people that all the time, man. Well, at least my homeboys, whatever. I used to call myself the T.I. comedy. And what I meant by that, I said, I'm the nicest person in the world until I feel disrespect. And then it's a different Justin you go see. But if as long as you respect me, man, I knew this from T.I. from his interviews. I'm like, this nigga is nice as shit. But when he felt disrespected, he was a different person. So I knew that even from the interview. So I used to say that, like, I'm a T.I. comedy. Then I met him recently. This dude is the nicest fucking
gentleman.
Bruh.
He's a gentleman.
So fucking nice, bruh. And it was what I thought. But if you was to ever disrespect him, you already know what side of the tip you gonna see.
Did you watch his stand up?
I did.
He has a.
Wait, we're gonna wrap up on this.
Yeah,
I know. You got peace out, shout out, you peace out.
Okay.
I seen him do when he came to the comedy store in the belly room. He went last. He had like his wife there, Tiny was there, Damani was there, some other people was there, Usher was there. For me, I felt he did good.
Yeah.
He had only been doing stand-up for 2 or 3 weeks at that point. He did 20 minutes.
Damn.
The luxury he has is he gets a lot of stage time already. When you don't have a name, you only can get 3 to 5 minutes to work on your set.
Yeah.
Wherever he's performing, he's getting 20, 30 minutes to work out his material.
For sure.
None of his shit was hacky. It was all personal. It was all personal stories. I thought it was great. There were comedians that were, some comedians was hating, you know, on some, this nigga trying to do stand up and that nigga wasn't that good. I'm like, yo, he only been doing stand up for 2 or 3 weeks. How good were you in 2 or 3 weeks? And then he still was better than a lot of comedians that I saw in my lifetime that's been doing stand up longer. Yeah. He was already better at 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, I also feel like,
where did you saw
him? I saw him at the Laugh Factory.
So he Sundays?
No. I saw him the day before. I saw him on Saturday or Friday night.
Oh, how'd you do that night?
I mean, listen, obviously the belly room was different energy. It's tighter in there. People are on top of each other. If you have 6 of your friends there in the belly room laughing, then the energy's already there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Laugh Factory, I feel like there ain't no give. You know what I'm saying? Like if you ain't, I feel like your joke ain't hitting. Mm-hmm. I mean, like it'd be really quiet in there, and it felt like a TED Talk. But I still think he has potential. I mean, he said the balls to get on stage to do comedy, that's all I need. The fact you doing that.
What's his energy on stage?
Very low, calm, and it's chill.
You know? It's chill.
And you never got to a place where you felt uncomfortable. You know that uncomfortable thing?
That's what I'm saying.
No, he seems super, super comfortable.
That's what I'm saying. Him, where Justin felt uncomfortable watching him. You know how somebody's not that good?
That's the thing. He was good. He's straight. Like, I didn't see him on the night Jackson saw him, but the night I saw him, I'm like, hey, bro, keep doing your shit, bro.
Yeah, did you know he was going to be there?
Yeah. Well, no. I did it. Let me tell you a funny story. I was out at a meeting that afternoon. I ran into a comedian. The comedian said, yo, T.I. doing stand-up at the Laugh Factory tonight. I'm like, yo, I got to go see that shit. So I went to the Laugh Factory to see him. He didn't show up. So I was like, fuck it. I had a spot at the comedy store that night. So I went to the comedy store in the Bellingham, Crackin' Up Thursday. Shout out to Michelle Murdoch. So I had a show there, and I was performing. I had been done performing. Every time I kept trying to leave, somebody pulled me into a conversation, one of them nights.
Yeah.
And literally, when I was finally about to make my escape out of there, I see somebody's like, T, I'm about to pull up. Sure enough, he had pulled up, and I was like, I went right back in the Comedy Store, sat down, because I wanted to see him, because I'm a fan of him in comedy, and I was
But also, too, I feel like, also, like, probably different audiences, right? So,
right.
The crowd I saw was more mixed, like, probably not as black as,
right.
like Sundays or Belly Room, so maybe that's what I had a lot to do with the, you know, the crowd reaction, too.
That's true.
So the only way you can see a stand up is if you catch him somewhere. It's not anywhere online, right?
No, T.I.?
Yeah,
I think there's footage when he first did stand up.
Oh,
yeah, I think that's online. But that was like his first night or something doing stand up.
That don't count.
You like, saw it?
I seen a snippet of it. Yes, yeah, I saw.
Was that good?
It was his first time doing. I mean, it was.
No, yeah. I don't know.
That's like if somebody had footage of the first time you ever spit a bar. It's not going to be as good as what.
No,
you
I know it's
now.
Not as good. But like, did you see potential? Did you laugh?
I don't. Well, it's hard for me to laugh at anybody.
Yeah, look, yeah, I'm saying, but the fact you get balls to do that shit, and he's funny in his podcast, so that's probably what made him start doing it.
Well, that's what I tell people. T.I. is naturally funny. Like he was supposed to do Rush Hour. That's how we bonded because he was supposed to do the Carter role and then some stuff. Happened, he didn't do it. So, but when people first told me that T.I. might be getting Rush Hour, I said, well, he's naturally funny. I'm like, it's a lot of rappers that's naturally funny.
No, I'm saying that. A lot of rappers are funny, and a lot of comedians want to rap.
Exactly. I heard Snoop said that recently. He was like, behind every rapper is a comedian, behind every comedian is a musician.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, I think there's some truth to that.
You know, the problem is the fear I have is because of a celebrity you get like a celebrity 7 minutes when you first start. You
know, right.
People don't really give you that a real observation. But 7 minutes as a celebrity, I feel like you won't ever really get that full comedian vibe because he's a celebrity.
This is what I think. I think they give you grace the first 30 seconds to a minute of being a celebrity.
I think it's longer than that.
2 minutes, 3 minutes tops.
Sure.
I feel like if you come out on some bogus shit, I don't give a fuck how famous you are, the crowd will be like, maybe this ain't your calling.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
I seen Dave Chappelle at the Laugh Factory put me to sleep.
And that's the clip we're using, everybody.
I seen him sit there and talk 5 hours about nothing and put me the fuck to sleep with smoking a cigarette. And I'm like, wait, why is it still going? And why is no one laughing?
Well, listen, I'm not gonna. In your face, nigga. That's
in your face.
In your face. Well, this was the thing about Chappelle. He's an orator, man. He be talking. That's how he get his material. He talks. He have conversations, and then he put it. I tell you what, you ain't never seen one of his specials, and you ain't laugh. Oh yeah.
What one of those? Those three, you know, he had that the funniest one that you've seen in a decade with the sticks and stones.
Yeah, that's my favorite out of all of them.
That's my favorite of his all time.
Yeah, I think me too.
Then one of the two that came after that,
Fillmore was funny too.
Which one? It was one that
he did two, right? He did two.
He did after, more than two.
No, I'm talking about. I'm talking about the after the sticks
the
and stones.
The Netflix specials.
Yeah, he did two right after. The sticks and stones, and I was like,
"Yeah, okay, all
right."
I mean, I'm not a Dave Chappelle sycophant though.
Oh, you're not?
I'm not.
Who are you? What's the comedian for you? Who's your top comedian?
I love Kevin Hart.
Okay,
I love Kevin Hart. He's great. I mean, you're not talking about all time, right? You're talking about just like now.
Right now, present time.
Yeah, yeah. I love Kevin Hart. I love D-Ray. I love Damon Jr. Oh, I love Tony Baker. You funny. You know who?
I'm about to say this nigga name. Everybody but me.
I know
for a fact you done died laughing at my shit.
No, the facts I did. But you know who I hadn't seen before, who I just saw Sunday? Mike Estimate.
I'm on,
you know, the show with him on the Upshaws.
Yeah.
I'd never seen his stand-up before.
Mike's funny.
Mike's funny.
He impressed me. He had the crowd rolling. His energy, his perspective, his everything, bro. I was like, damn, how come I haven't heard of you?
You never heard of him before?
I mean, I've seen him around. You know, I knew. And like when we on the show, Wanda, Mike, and Mike Epps and him, they're all talking about the old days when they used to do stand up in New York all the time. That I was just sitting there listening to their stories. But I'd never seen his work, so I didn't know how he was. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know. I just know how he is on the show. And man, he killed that shit.
Who your person?
Man, JB Smoove.
JB Smoove, I can see that.
Yeah, he just got me into it, kind of, sort of. Def Jam days, his physicalities, his way to repeat shit over and over.
Do you see yourself in it? Because y'all both, like, are difficult to understand.
Yeah, probably. Uh-huh. Probably. Fuck you, nigga.
Right? Like, the way y'all talk. Probably.
But guess what? They said the same thing to Bernie Mac. I watched the Bernie Mac documentary, and the casting, they was talking about his daughter out there was talking about how when he was coming up, the casting people didn't want to cast him. It was hard to understand. Okay, he need to articulate better and all that. Then he popped, and all the casting people was like, be more like Bernie. Mm. That's what taught me that you just have to be yourself, bro.
We said earlier, if we're going to bring it back full circle, that one thing, it takes one thing.
Right.
And once that one thing pops, you everything that you want to do now, the world is your oyster.
That's something about stand-up comedy. Like, it makes you, like, get practice getting good at being yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I feel like once you master being yourself, then people go, oh, I like that nigga right there. Let me cast it and everything.
That's all I'm searching for now. It's like, what's the most authentic version of me? I put the facade on for Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? And it got me some places.
Yeah.
But it's like, at a certain point, I'm like, I don't know. And I know you got a Trojan horse the system, too. See, it's one of those same dilemmas I'm always in. Like, I heard Donald Glover say that. We better get out of here. But I heard Donald Glover say that about how he got Atlanta on the air. He was like, he had a Trojan horse the system. Tell them it was one thing and it was really something else.
Interesting.
You see what I'm saying?
Why is that called Trojan horse?
Because they did that back in the time. What was that? The
Roman when it was inside.
Like, yeah, they were inside the horse. Yeah. So they called it Trojan horse to get in.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, you got to do that, especially as black people, because, you know, I mean, this shit ain't locks. This shit comes out.
Yeah.
You know, because.
Twist.
Yeah, need a twist, because when I have to.
The police at the door.
No, it ain't.
Oh.
Somebody knock?
Yeah.
See, go look, see.
Well, you want us to, this ain't our house. What, you want us to get shot first?
Yeah. The hell? You're the biggest one.
He's like, you gonna look.
And lock the door. Lock the door unlocked. Okay.
He tell us to go. We ain't never been here before. No. He's like, go.
Somebody knocked on the door? Yeah.
You hear it? I heard it.
I got a delivery coming.
Yo, so you said you love Dave Chappelle, but who's your people that you love?
Oh, Chappelle.
Only?
No.
Like Bill Burr.
Bill right now is Bill Burr and Chappelle. Those are my top two.
Yeah, same.
Right now.
Same, right now.
Mike Epps is also the most slept on. His special, Underrated, Never Faded, is a fucking classic.
Classic.
And his last special, Only One Mike, fucking bonkers. This nigga, bruh, any chip that he may have on his shoulder, I don't know if he does or doesn't, is deservedly so. Because this is laugh out loud. Jump, like, it's hard to watch somebody special. You're like, holy shit, this is funny. Especially if you're a comedian. So I feel like Mike Epps is, he's up there for me also.
You like him more than Cat Williams? You laugh at him?
Cat Williams is a beast too.
Cat Williams is a genius.
Cat Williams is a genius. So all them people, you know what I'm saying? I just got respect for comedy, you know.
It's room for everybody.
It's room for everybody for sure. You know, so those my go-to guys right now. If I want to see a special.
Bill Burr.
Whew, monster.
Monster. Damn.
You see the Paper Tiger special?
Nah, I don't.
He got a black and white special that people really like, but my favorite personally is the Paper Tiger one.
Where is that on?
London. On Netflix.
London. Yeah, that's good. That was
monster. That came out around.
Can you text me whatever the name of your favorite special of his is?
Yep, for sure.
And is Sticks and Stones your favorite Dave Chappelle special of all time?
Is that
one
Blue Shirt in DC?
That's the one when he talked about the cancel culture shit. Yeah. And he didn't get
that. No.
That's killing me soft.
It killing me soft. My favorite.
That used to be my favorite.
Oh, my favorite.
But I can respect that.
Yeah, that's my all-time favorite special. Yeah.
Sticks and Stones are killing me soft. Yeah. My two favorite specials. Yeah. You ever seen Killing Them?
Probably. What? Where you been, nigga? Where, what was that on?
HBO.
It's with Young.
Yeah. You touched me that too?
Yep. Yeah, I became this nigga's secretary.
No, I'm just curious because you say you're so difficult to make laugh. I want to see, like, you know, it's subjective, right? So just because you like it don't mean that I'm going to like it. But I am curious because you're a hard critic.
No. Comedians, just we look at jokes differently. Like, we dissect them. We see, we understand structure, tags. We're not looking at, we don't laugh at it like that.
Right.
We just see where it's coming. It's different.
The same way when you listen to rap music, you probably be listening for different things than the typical regular consumer would be listening to.
Yeah, that song ain't that good. Because you probably, you know, because you're right. So
right.
You know.
Right. So I know somebody just compared my rapping to Andre 3000. He thought my new shit was trash, but you know, whatever.
It's not new anymore.
What, Andre 3000?
No, your new shit is not new anymore. It's like 3 years old now.
No, it's not.
That's not even a year.
Yeah, they mean, yeah, put it out on Christmas Day. What are you talking about?
It's just fresh.
Yeah, fresh. Fuck out of here, nigga. Meanwhile, take a song 6 months to 2 years to pop. Jesus Christ. All right, man. We finna wrap up, man. Anything, appreciate y'all for coming through, man. Pulling up, man.
Thank you, man. We love you, Justin. We love you, Justin.
Love you too, man. I appreciate y'all, man. I wanted to have people here that I fuck with, that I love, that I can have an authentic, organic conversation with, man. So,
you was a last minute draw because the other one didn't come in.
I'll take it.
But I got to go. People, this is how people had auditions.
I'm dependable.
You're dependable. You showed up. That's why I fuck with Jasmine, man. I fuck with you, Paige, because you're dependable. That's why I fuck with Jasmine. You know what I'm saying? Jasmine over there sleep like a motherfucker.
I'm nuts.
Hey, man. Catch Jasmine or, goddamn, what's the name of the podcast? Party People. People's Party. Follow
Party People.
Party. Check out Jasmine. People. Jasmine Lee on People's Party. She going to do an episode one day, hopefully. And, I mean, she wants to. Okay. Yeah, I don't want to assume nothing. Shout out to Paige Kennedy. Catch him on the Up Shaws. And Meg,
great,
too.
Great show.
Yeah,
great,
man.
Great show.
And Catch Jackson.
He's around town. He's performing.
Right. He's been around. And he's on every fucking commercial.
You know? I'll be out here. I'll be in these streets.
All right, man. We fucking out of here, man. This has been Fuck Your Feelings. And we've offended you. Remember, fuck you. We out,
baby. Throw me down, I get it. Hate that I keep winning. Stab my back is tempting to all those who willing. The ones think I'm privileged. Hard work went into this. Lost friends, God bless. Cut hoes off too much stress.